just confirmed in the last hour a $55 billion merger in the internet and TV business. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news just now that Charter Communications wants to buy Time Warner Cable for $55 and a third billion. Charter does internet and cable TV in 29 states, and its largest shareholder is media tycoon John Malone of Liberty Media. Time Warner Cable was supposed to merge with Comcast, but that fell apart after antitrust regulators looked askance. Marketplace's Tim Fitzsimmons is following all of this from Washington.
Charter is moving to buy two separate cable providers. First, Bright House Networks, a small company with 2.5 million customers, and also Time Warner Cable, the second largest provider in America. When Charter, Bright House, and Time Warner are combined, the total number of customers will be just under 24 million. That's right below the 27 million customers that Comcast has. That means Charter and Comcast would be the two companies that dominate the television and broadband internet market in the United States. It's only been a month since Comcast stopped trying to buy Time Warner Cable. That deal fell apart because antitrust regulators from the Department of Justice saw the proposed mega Comcast as anti-competitive. This deal should go more smoothly, partly because Charter could now serve as a competitive check to Comcast, but also because Charter has little to no stake in the media production business. Comcast owns NBC Universal, while Time Warner Cable is just a provider.
Reporter Tim Fitzsimmons in the Marketplace Washington Bureau. The government today releases its tally of durable goods, long-lasting, expensive things. The last report from March was a cluster of contradictions. Folks bought more cars, but not much else, and companies bought more airplanes, but less new machinery. So what does the purchases of these goods tell us? Nova Safo explains.
What is a durable good?
Something that will withstand a decent amount of wear and tear and not fall apart.
26-year-old Jessica DeAndrea is shopping for one such thing, furniture.
I feel like I'm in a stable enough financial place that I can, and I'm moving out into my own apartment for the first time.
This is why analysts pay attention to the durable goods report. It measures optimism. Gennady Goldberg is a strategist with TD Securities.
Consumers don't really make very large ticket purchases until they feel very secure and they do actually have money saved up.
For things like refrigerators, TVs, and cars, Ian Shepherdson of Pantheon Macroeconomics says what businesses buy is even more telling.
The one thing that businesses don't do if they're worried about the future is invest large amounts in new equipment.
Which means, Shepherdson says, that spending trends over multiple months offer a valuable economic forecast. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
As Greece negotiates for more money from the IMF and its European partners to help stay with the euro, there's an op-ed today written by Greece's finance minister. Yanis Varoufakis says the media have it wrong when they say that Greece is resistant to economic reform. He writes that the only deal breaker is forcing the Greeks to endure more austerity. With news of that merger, Time Warner Cable stock is up more than 9.5%. Stock in its suitor, Charter Communications, is up 3.75%. Don't make the amateur mistake. Just plain Time Warner, TWX, is a different company, different stock. There's a new book out that breathes fire on people at the center of the last financial crisis. Among the book's interesting features is that it is aimed at young adult readers. Also, its author was a government regulator with a front seat view of that crisis, Sheila Bair, former head of the FDIC during the financial crisis and recovery. She was then and is now an outspoken critic of the financial services industry and doesn't believe that institutions should be too big to fail. The Bullies of Wall Street, This is How Greed Messed Up Our Economy is the title of the book. Ms. Bair, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Why write this book for young adults? I mean, from you, former head of the FDIC, maybe something weightier like Thomas Piketty's Capital in the 21st Century looks great on the coffee table. You can use it as an anchor for a boat in a storm.
Right.
But why target that group?
The crisis is something I thought teenagers could understand, should understand, would be interested in learning about. And I don't want the lesson of the crisis to be bailouts are great, don't be accountable for your actions, don't think about the long-term consequences. And that's really my message to young people is be better than us. Actually, my title for the book was not Bullies of Wall Street. It was You Can Do Better, because their generation can do better. My generation has not done a very good job so far.
You know, reading through this, I see that meeting between U.S. officials trying to handle the crisis. You seem
right.
A bit critical of Treasury Secretary Larry Summers and then Tim Geithner, suggesting what? They designed a foreclosure prevention program not to help homeowners, but to what? Make the media happy? Am I reading this right?
This is something Larry and Tim have heard me say before, and I do feel that they were far too focused on stabilizing the banking sector and not enough about tackling the core problem, which were all these unaffordable mortgages. We needed to provide more homeowner relief. I don't think they were focused on it. I think they thought that was just too hard to do, and they were going to focus on stabilizing the banks.
You know, you have the bullies of Wall Street in the title. Speaking of bullies, we spoke with a guest recently on this program, corporate lawyer Rajan Cohen. His perspective was that regulators have started to get too tough on Wall Street, that this is a contentious environment that's hurting reform. What's your sense? Have regulators become jerks?
Look, I think I will be the first to admit that some of these regulations haven't been as well targeted as they should be. I wish that the rules were simpler, more focused on skin in the game, much tougher capital requirements, forcing institutions to borrow more on a long-term basis than a short-term basis. But are they too tough? No. I think there's still a lot going on that probably shouldn't be going on. And I do wish that the banks themselves would take a more collaborative attitude towards the financial reform effort. They fight every single rulemaking. And in that kind of environment, you really can't blame the regulators for responding in kind.
Sheila Bairz, former head of the FDIC. Latest book is The Bullies of Wall Street. This is How Greed Messed Up Our Economy. Ms. Bairz, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Bairz now serves as a senior advisor to the Pew Charitable Trust and is chair of the Systemic Risk Council, which works to stave off some future financial crisis. Our producers, Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.